Busted appliance? This is your sign to upgrade. Shop at Lowe's to get up to 35% off and next day delivery on hundreds of major appliances. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 3/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Order by 4 p.m. Available Monday through Saturday. Subject to availability. Fees, exclusions, and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/appliance delivery for more details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
Bam! Before we get to the show, we got to tell you about the merch.
Hi, so we are doing a merch closeout.
Yes.
So it's everything we've already had.
Bam, we're doing this to the end of the year. So if you wanted to get merch, it's 30% off. Go there. It's like a fire sale.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll set it all on fire where people don't buy at the end.
Maybe.
You're going to make it like a real fire sale? Let's light some shit on fire.
Yeah. Or if you don't want us to, you can head on over
exactly.
to the merch.
You know what? Save the merch.
See what we got going on over
exactly.
there.
Exactly. Click the link in the show notes, fam. And check it out. It's there. It's there until it's not.
It's 30% off. And it's everything we have left.
Yes.
To hold you over until we do our new merch drop.
Yeah. So we don't know the sizes. We don't even know what's there. Well, who knows?
Yeah. It's like things might be sold out or not, but we just want to let you know.
Yes. If you've always wanted some TCO merch, but you've never done it, now's a chance to get it for 30% off. It's really fun. Good stuff. I got to tell you, too, the quality of this.
Like, look.
We go through a process to make sure the quality is really good. Just click the link in the show notes and go a shopping.
Yeah. Have fun.
Have fun.
Bye.
I want to be very clear. I'm not mad. I'm not mad at anybody who isn't an existing Paula Cole fan. I'm not mad at them.
Okay.
But I do need them to correct
You're just
it.
Disappointed.
Yeah, I'm a little disappointed. And like, Paula Cole is maybe, in my opinion, the greatest singer of our time. Just the voice alone and what she can do. I'm not mad.
Right.
I'm not.
But it's the real crime.
I'm not mad.
That's what you're saying.
Thank you so much. Hi, Jillian Bezzavalli.
Hello, Patrick Hines.
Oh, my God.
You've been crying about this for 3 months.
It's here.
So this is our last bonus ep of the year. We're doing the Lilith Fair Building a Mystery, the Untold Story doc.
You put this in as the last episode for me. It
for
was
you.
Such a gift.
Yeah.
I'm
it's
so grateful.
It's a gift
grateful.
To the listeners, but also a gift to you. But this is our last bonus episode until April of 2026. We will be back with like 22 more bonus episodes next year, but just letting you know.
Yeah. You're not going to get the Thursday episodes until April.
Until April of 2026.
Which is a good time to remind you that if you want more, if you can't wait, there's plenty there on Patreon. Over 500 full episodes.
Plenty.
Plenty. Can I do it?
Do it. I gotta tell you, I'm not an expert. I know the singles of most of the... I'm like a Fiona Apple girl.
Uh-huh.
Like a lot... My people aren't really necessarily here, but I know the singles. I love and appreciate everyone here, but this you are the expert.
Girl, ask me.
What are we covering today?
We're talking about Lilith Fair Building a Mystery, the Untold Story. I promise I'm going to try to calm down. I've been crying for days.
For months over this.
I really put off watching this because, fam, if you don't know, Lilith Fair, this just hit me at exactly the right time. These were my college years. This was the last time that I really, really cared about music.
It's a great time.
Yeah, it's not that I don't care about music now, but back then in the late 90s, I was really invested. And these were the women, these were the artists that were all over the radio.
Yeah.
I mean, I could stop. I went to every single Lilith Fair. I love it so much. But I was really afraid of what it was going to do to me, so I put off watching
it. The documentary.
Yeah, until we were recording for this. I've watched this 3 times in the last 2 days. I cannot get enough.
Yeah.
I learned a lot, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it has been such an unbridled joy to get to cover this documentary.
It's a huge thing that happened. It was a huge moment in time. It's so important, and that so many of the people... that were a part of it. Obviously, like, this is Sarah McLachlan.
Oh my God.
Thing. It was a huge, huge moment, not just in music history, but like world history.
Yes, and in like feminist history.
It's a big deal.
It really, I just, should we just go, should we start?
Yeah, let's start.
Okay.
Singer Sarah McLachlan has launched an all-female tour.
This was the first time you'd seen anything like it.
Finding out that all of my favorite artists had played at this event.
The Lilith Fair bill is incredible.
Paula Cole, Suzanne Vega, Erykah Badu,
Sinead O'Connor,
Missy Elliott,
Sarah McLachlan,
Sheryl Crow,
Jewel.
I was in disbelief that I'd never heard of it before.
Promoter said, you can't put two women on the same bill. People won't come. That's complete bullshit.
And it put a huge fire under my butt to prove them wrong. But if you stand up for something, there is going to be an equal and opposite reaction.
Jerry Falwell is going after the Lilith Fair. Says the tour is named for a demon.
We had a bomb threat. People want to blow us up.
I'd never seen that kind of anger. But progress, as we know, always finds a way.
Number one, I remember when this started happening like a year ago, where all these young people were learning for the first time that once upon a time, there was a music festival that just celebrated female artists.
Yeah.
Like, people didn't know. Olivia Rodrigo didn't know. And she's so wonderful. And she, like, does the right. She gives it up to Lilith Fair. And,
of course.
And all of these people who really inspired her. But, like, to see, I remember watching these TikToks of people being like, did you know that there was a fair?
In the 1900s.
Back in the 1900s, in the previous century.
Yeah. Well, look, it was important for women. It's always important. But it was especially because the music industry sucks. And it really, 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 really sucks for women.
Yeah. I mean, undoubtedly.
Because Sarah McLachlan explains that.
I can't. Like, hearing you say her name, I'm going to try not to cry too much.
That she, like, radio program directors. And I worked in radio. That's
yeah,
where I started.
So did I. Kiss 108 FM, the Maddie in the Morning Show in Boston, Massachusetts.
The Howard Stern Station.
Yeah.
At K-Rock.
Yeah.
So, like, but radio
program. Come a long way, but I could beat his ass based on his behavior in this documentary.
She's disgusting.
I remember every time I'd go to a radio station and they'd play a song and they're like, yeah, it's a really great song, but you know, we added Tracy Chapman this week, or we added Jewel this week. And I was like, and what's that got to do with me? Those are all very different artists than me, but we all kind of got lumped into the same category. There's room for one of us.
The radio program directors didn't want to play, like, too many women on the radio stations. And, like, they'd be like, well, you know, we just had a Tracy Chapman. So,
I mean, and that's,
I'm like, cool. Like, you can get a medal for that because she's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
But, like, that doesn't mean you can't add someone else.
I remember Sarah McLachlan before Lilith Fair pointing out that you would never hear two women on the radio back to back.
It was like, it was a rule. It was like an actual rule.
Now, like we were saying, I worked in radio at the time. It wasn't always like that. Like, there were times you'd hear Sarah McLachlan and then Jewel and then 10 men. Like, it wasn't that I would always clock it after I heard her say it. Like, it would happen, but it was so infrequent that it was incredibly noticeable when it did happen.
Because the whole point was like, oh, women's voices, ugh.
Like,
oh, they all sound the same.
Oh,
like,
my
it was
God.
Just a lot of just stupid fucking boys.
Well, all right. We open with Sarah McLachlan in 1997 telling us who Lilith was.
In religious mythology, Lilith was Adam's first wife before Eve. She was created of the same stuff he was, yet he refused to treat her as an equal. So she said, I'm out of here. Lilith left the Garden of Eden and built her own garden, dancing and singing among women who, like her, refused to surrender their strength.
And those like her who refused to surrender their strength. So that's where they got the name Lilith for Lilith Fair. And then we hear the opening chords of Building a Mystery.
Yeah, it's really good.
And I burst into tears.
It's a good song.
I mean, most songs by Sarah McLachlan, especially back then, they were just so magical.
It's very super ethereal.
Da-na-na-na.
It's like, really good. Building a Mystery is great. What's the other one? Sweet Surrender.
Yeah. Possession was like her first
Possession.
Big one that everybody
that
knows.
That was the one about her stalker.
Yes. I mean, just incredible.
Yeah.
Girl, Function is back. Look, I've been using this for several months now, and I chose to use Function Fam because it's the only health platform that gives you the most data people never get and the insights to start doing something about it if you don't like what you see. I love it. I check it weekly.
Yeah, so it's a near 360 view to better see what's happening in your body.
And that's why top health leaders like Dr. Mark Hyman and Dr. Andrew Huberman and Dr. Jeremy London are all behind Function. And look, girl, tis the season to give the gift of health. Am I wrong?
Well, look, it's not just a gift of health. It's also just peace of mind, right?
Yes,
like, this is
yes.
something that someone's actually going to use. They can use it all year round. It's not like a thing that's going to cause clutter in their house or something.
No.
You know what I mean? They can actually use it.
You can give your loved ones access to 160 plus lab tests annually, heart, hormones, inflammation, stress, and more. And I got to tell you, it's so easy to navigate. It's so easy to read and understand. And my favorite part, if something is a little off, they really give you the guidance as to what to do about it.
Right. It's not just like, here's a problem. Bye.
Exactly.
No.
Right.
You know what? For the person person who has everything, give them this.
Exactly. I love it. Like I said, I use it all the time. It makes me feel like I'm really taking care of my health. And fam, you can own your health for $365 a year.
That's $1 a day.
Learn more and join using our link, which is www.functionhealth.com/TCO, or use gift code TCO25 for a $25 credit towards your membership.
There you go. Function, girl. Get into it.
Get into it. So we open in the 90s. It just says the 90s. And we're backstage at Lilith Fair.
Thank God.
I know. We see Sarah McLachlan and Sheryl Crow just like practicing a song together. And then I'm realizing like how much backstage footage we're going to get. And like, I mean, it is just incredible to see these women in their natural habitat with other women being creative. These artists that I loved. It is just absolutely wild.
And then we're going to hear from women like Suzanne Vega and Jewel and Liz Fair.
Yes.
Just talking about how like Suzanne Vega says the 90s was an amazing time for women singer-songwriters and bands and artists like rock, folk, hip hop. You had everything.
Yeah.
The women were freaking killing it. But the whole thing, like Liz Fair is like, yeah, but then men were dominating everything. The women were kept apart. They were pitted against each other.
Yes. And they were like,
which is like still like the more things change, the more they stay the same.
No question. And Jewel is here. All of these women, by the way, look like a million bucks.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God. But she's here to say too that like,
there's still this media perception of it being cute or novel or a fluke. Women aren't flukes.
It was seen as a fluke. It was seen as cute, like not something that it was like a fad that wasn't going to last.
Right. So 90s culture just in general was super toxic, especially towards women. Like you had Anita Hill versus Clarence Thomas. You had Monica Lewinsky versus Bill Clinton and the world.
I mean, we see these horrifying video clips, like Bill Maher calling Monica Lewinsky, quote, the fat chick.
Jennifer Aniston versus David Letterman, who like, is assaulting her.
We see, like, there are so many clips like this from the 90s of these like incredibly famous women on these talk shows where the men are like, get up off of like the David fucking Lettermans of the world. Like he, like the way that
neck,
he has her quote, and she's doing that thing where she feels like she has to laugh and go along with it.
The way Howard Stern is trying to force himself onto Suzanne Vega on camera is so fucking disgusting.
And he's doing it in a way where he knows she's uncomfortable, and that's the point.
That's why he's doing it. It's disgusting. Now, Madonna's empowerment came from sex, right?
Yeah.
And that was her message, and that was amazing for her. Janet Jackson was similar to that.
Yeah.
But not everyone wanted to do that, which is fine.
Yes.
But, like, it didn't stop people from pushing that, mostly men, on other female artists. So, like, just because Madonna was super, super sexual, Howard Stern thought it was okay for him to force himself onto Suzanne Vega, and it's not.
And there was, I think the other point is that there was nobody telling him it was inappropriate.
Right.
Like, the men that he worked for were like, encouraging
They're basically
that.
Like, get Suzanne Vega to take her top off.
Yes, exactly.
Like,
top off.
Take your top off. But, like, I just want to be clear on this because, like, the women speaking to us had a very, very specific point of view about what they wanted. And other very successful women saw things differently and did things differently.
Yeah.
So I don't want this to be a thing where it's like, this is the only point of view.
No.
Because there are major, major artists who declined Lilith Fair and spoke out against it, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But like this is the point of view we're talking about, but some people wanted to be sexy, like that famous, incredibly powerful Janet Jackson cover of Rolling Stone 1993.
Like somebody holding her boobs.
Yeah. And like they wanted Liz Fair to recreate that. And Liz Fair's like, that's not what I do. That's a Janet thing. And that's fine. Like the world is wide enough for everybody.
Yep. So we get a little bit of like the Sarah McLachlan backstory.
Mom sucked. Well, I didn't know that.
Nobody knew. I feel like she never talked about this before.
Mom sucks.
You know, Sarah McLachlan is Canadian. She says she was raised to not have an opinion, to never open her mouth, not saying anything. Her mom was super strict.
I wasn't really allowed to go out and do anything. I didn't really have any friends. Like I could not be myself at home. I mean, I was grounded most of my adolescence for the tiniest of infractions. But really, that's just because my mom wanted to keep me home, to protect me.
My mom just wanted to keep me home to, quote, protect me.
Yeah.
But, like, she says it in a way that really her mom wanted to control her.
Because she says that she was also told that she wasn't anything special and you're going to fail.
Yeah.
Don't do that to your kids, even if they're Sarah, especially if, you know, Don't do that to your kids, everybody.
Yeah. And Sarah McLachlan says her mother was the first person to make her believe in herself because her mother told her she would never
be
anything.
Of course I'm going to be something, mom.
Exactly.
Fucking idiot.
Oh my God. And then she went and became Sarah McLachlan.
Still don't do this to your kids.
Even if there's a potential for it to turn them into Sarah McLachlan, still don't do it.
I
would sacrifice Sarah McLachlan for no young girl to ever have to suffer that
fate. Can we not?
I know.
Thanks so much. So she found managers and agents and musicians who respected her. They're almost all men, weirdly enough.
Now, I want to take a minute to point out, these are men, they are really fucking good men, and they are the men who believed in her vision of elevating women and bringing women together. And it's important to say, these men did that.
Yeah. So Sarah skyrockets to fame. She's in LA for 1 week before she starts feeling bad about herself.
Can I just say, we see archival footage of her singing Possession, and I'm holding my face.
Yeah.
I'm holding my face together.
It's a really good song. And just read the lyrics if you haven't already. That's true.
Yeah.
It's like quotes from her stalker's letter, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. But yeah, she like, you know, goes to LA for 1 week because she gets a record deal in Canada. That's where the Fumbling Towards Ecstasy album came from. And she's just loved and adored, and she's becoming a star there. And so of course, like, they want to give her a deal in LA. So she goes down to meet with the record label, and like
the A&R guy who's like, well, you know, if you lost 5 pounds, you know, we could do this with you. They're looking at my hair going, oh, if we could do this and fix it. And I came down there feeling just fine about my body, never gave it a second thought. And after a week there, I was starting to not feel good about myself.
Young, beautiful Sarah McLachlan is told she's too fat.
Yeah.
She's not sexy enough. And she's like, I wanted to quit. All of these women say a version of like, I wanted to quit in my first year because I'm not doing this.
Right. And I've never been made to feel this way about myself before, and I don't like it.
And like, you know, the other thing, other than just like the blatant misogyny and sexualization of these women that they did not want, it just makes me really sad for people who care about music, because it's like, why do the people in power just want to recreate the same cookie cutter thing that they think people want over
so
and
boring.
Over and it's so boring.
Like, it's so many things, but it's also just fucking boring.
I love Madonna. I love, like, you were saying that she felt empowered to be sexual, and like, she is amazing. What an icon.
I want to flip through her sex book while listening to Fiona Apple.
Exactly.
While listening, you know what I mean? Like, why can't we do all of it?
Exactly.
So back then, promoters wouldn't put two women on the same bill because they didn't think tickets would sell, because it's like, it's basically like the program director is not playing two women back to back on the radio, only in real life.
Exactly.
We also get so many dogs in this.
Oh,
there's
yeah.
There's so much footage.
I mean, it's
of everyone's
a ladies, like a ladies music festival,
like,
documentary.
All on tour.
And they're all lesbians, basically. Even the ones that aren't lesbians are lesbians for this.
Also, Kate Schellenbach is here from Luscious Jackson.
Yeah.
I love Luscious Jackson. Also, she was the original drummer for the Beastie Boys, if
is
you don't
that
know that.
Right?
Yeah, they treated her really shittily. She was let's see if I get these years right. I want to say 81 to like 84, super early on, the original drummer for the fucking Beastie Boys.
And what happened? Why'd they fire her?
They fired her because they transitioned into hip hop, and they like, and Ad Rock is like, we were assholes. Like, they regret how they treated her, but they were not nice about it. And they basically said that she didn't like fit in with the vibe that they were going for, and unceremoniously fired her. But she was the original drummer for the Beastie Boys. She's awesome.
Amazing.
She's awesome. Naked Eye is such a time machine song. That song is peak 1996. I love Luscious Jackson.
Oh my God.
Anyway.
We just come from different musical, because I'm sure you're right. I just don't know what that is.
Naked Eye. Oh, it's so good. You know it. If you hear it, you'll be like, oh, that's Naked Eye?
Well, whenever you and I would talk about what we loved the artist from Lilith Fair, I would have my list and you would have your list, and they did not intersect.
They don't intersect at all.
Yeah.
But I love and appreciate like I said, I know all the singles, but I can't give you like a deep cut. My dual deep cut is like Foolish Games.
We're gonna see Paula Cole singing Saturn Girl. We're gonna hear Sheryl Crow and the Indigo Girls singing Tried to Be True. Like, it's a song nobody knows.
Yeah, totally.
And it's like, we're about to get there.
Well, because Sarah's like, well, fuck that. Two women are gonna be on a bill. Watch us do it.
And it's gonna be me and Paula Cole.
It's gonna be Sarah McLachlan and Paula Cole go on tour together.
This is where we see the video of Paula Cole singing Saturn Girl. This is right after she graduated Berklee College of Music in Boston. She's got that short brown bob. Saturn Girl, this is from an album called Harbinger, and if you don't know it, please go get it. Like, there's a song on that album called Black Boots that will break your heart.
Oh my God.
Her voice, you just cannot.
I love break your heart songs.
Oh my God, it is. You would love that album, because it's not like her like later poppier stuff. It's a little darker. It's a little moodier. Because Paula Cole wanted to be a jazz singer. That was like her first thing, and she's got got that voice. But Pollicle is here, and she says Sarah McLachlan showed up at her gig and asked her to go on tour with her, and, like, that was the beginning.
And, like, the tour does really well. They're playing great venues. They're selling out. People want this. Women yes. want this. Stop being stupid, everybody. And men want it, too.
Yes, and Pollicle is saying that they would, like, start... Pollicle being the opener, would open shows being like, thank you for being here on a bill where women are supporting women, and the audience would go fucking bananas.
Because it was like... Finally. Finally.
Yes.
So this expands and turns into a Lilith Fair.
Look at all these summer festivals. They're all completely male-dominated. Yet there's all these amazing women out there making music. Why don't we ask some of them if they want to come do something? And it was as simple as that.
Not just as a response to the successful tour, but also like a direct response to these male-dominated
yes,
music festivals.
Exactly.
And now Lisa Loeb is here.
Oh, my God. Lisa Loeb is incredible.
She's so incredible. Do you know that Ethan Hawke directed the Stay video?
Yes, I did know that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Lisa Loeb is here to say, like, I love the idea at first of, like, an all... women tour, because she didn't want to just be like, oh, I'm the girl that plays guitar and I have the cute glasses. Like,
yeah.
That's not what she wanted to be pushed
but
into.
But we hear that from everybody. We hear that from Suzanne Vega Everyone is saying, like, I don't really understand what she's doing. Like, even the women of the time, not that they thought that it wouldn't work, but they were so used to being, like, the girl singer that they were really afraid of, like, being put in a group with a bunch of girl singers. But then Lisa Loeb finds out who's on the bill.
But she's also like, it's really lonely.
Yes.
Like, it's really lonely being a musician, and it's really lonely being a woman in this industry. And she's like, it would actually be really nice to just be surrounded by other women who get what I'm going through.
And it was like her contemporaries, like Sarah McLachlan, Paula Cole, Amy Mann. But then there's like Patti Smith. And like, we're going to start to see this throughout this documentary where like people like Bonnie Raitt, who'd been in the business for decades, or Patti Smith or Chrissy Hynde, they show up and all these like the people who were super popular at the time of Lilith Fair are like, I cannot believe I get to share the stage with the women who inspired me.
Exactly. So 1997, Lilith Fair is born, and we can all thank Buffy, Sarah's childhood friend, for the name Lilith Fair.
Love Buffy. I love knowing that Sarah had at least one friend in high school. Jesus.
Well, thank God. But like, the thing about Lilith is that she refused to be subservient to Adam, right?
Yes.
Like, that's the whole thing, is she grew these wings and flew away. But of course, as the story has evolved, she's now this like she-demon slut and a baby stealer.
Oh, of course.
But like, they took it back.
Yes, of course.
Everyone needs to get a grip, by the way. Also, she-demon slut baby stealer sound fucking awesome.
That sounds like a great name for an album.
She's a she-demon slut, like Sam.
She-demon slut baby stealer.
Like, oh my God.
The new album from Patrick Hines.
Love.
I love it.
Get a fucking grip. She-demon sluts are fucking awesome.
I make a podcast with
They're
one.
They're awesome.
Girl, Everyday Dose is back. Look, that is that coffee with benefits. And like I keep saying, I love it because coffee is something I have all day, every day. And why not have the coffee that not only doesn't make you not feel awful afterwards, but actually does stuff for you?
Right. And everyone's really busy. Like everyone
yes.
has a lot going on. And so if you're constantly on the go, but you also love your coffee, like this is something for you. It's simple, but it's effective. Everyday Dose is coffee plus benefits.
Yes. Get this, fam. They combine high quality coffee with powerful ingredients like lion's mane and chaga, collagen protein, and nootropics to fuel your brain, boost focus, and give you clean, sustained energy all day long. Like for me, it's all about not having that crash out in the middle of the day.
Totally. Yeah. So it tastes just like coffee without the downside. No crash, no jitters, just clean, sustained energy.
For me, it was a thing that I was already doing every day. And now I don't get the bloating afterwards. And now I don't get the jitters. It's like, it's
right.
coffee, but better.
You don't have to deal with the stuff that's like, I need the coffee, but I have to put up with XYZ. No, not anymore.
Exactly. So fam, get 61% off your first Coffee Plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer with over $100 in free gifts by going to everydaydose.com/TCO or entering TCO at checkout.
That's everydaydose.com/TCO for 61% off your first order.
Everyday Dose is also available at your local Target. Can we talk about that A2 probiotic creamer? Yes, please.
Okay, I'll take it. Done.
I know. Right?
$100 in free gifts, just saying.
So Sarah's team is saying, because like they're coordinating all of this, like they're coordinating the whole thing. They're getting a lot of pushback from the promoters. If you don't know, in live events, promoters are the ones who like accept or don't accept the contract for the venue or
and
whatever.
All that money.
And Sarah puts together a wish list, and she says at the very top was Sheryl Crow.
Yeah.
Now, the thing about Sheryl Crow is that she was big before women in music was big. And so I remember back in the day for year one, there was like a will she or won't she like get on the tour? Because she didn't need Lilith Fair. She was so big and so famous.
That was All I Want to Do. That was her big first single, right?
And she, like Sarah even says,
Sheryl is one of those artists that worked her ass off to get to where she was. Her record, it was huge.
Sarah McLachlan called me, and I was absolutely like, oh my goodness, I mean, manna from heaven.
She got it. She knew what we were trying to do. She was part of it. She was deeply invested in it. It was kind of like sisters in arms.
Sheryl got it. Like, she just got it from the beginning. She was all in. Sheryl could not have been a better ambassador. She was able to get other people to do it. She saw Sarah's vision. She never tried to be the star. Sarah was always the star. And, like, they were all just so grateful to have her.
And then everyone make way for Tracy goddamn Chapman.
Now, this was a revelation to me because I grew up with Tracy Chapman. My mom's a lesbian. Tracy Chapman's a lesbian, obviously. I grew up with her music. They describe her as a musical anomaly that, like, Sarah's like, I could sell out 3,500 seats. Sheryl could sell out 3,500 seats. Tracy was bigger. I did not know that.
She was groundbreaking.
Well, I knew she was groundbreaking, but I didn't know that she was a more popular artist just in terms of, like, numbers than Sarah McLachlan.
She had a lot of
crossover. Which makes sense now, you know? But, it, like, so back in the day, they even say, like, getting her was, like, a super important get.
But the three of them combined, they're like, how could this possibly fail?
Yeah.
And also, like, thanks to Tracy Chapman, too, they're like, okay, well, yeah, we're doing this.
And so the team is saying, like, they're taking super low guarantees. A guarantee is, like, an artist books a venue, and the venue guarantees a certain amount of money no matter how many tickets are sold.
Right.
And so, you know, they're saying we took low guarantees, no guarantees. It was hard for them to get sponsors.
I remember specifically one conversation with the water company, and they were like, no, we're kind of really focusing on a male audience. And I was like, it's water.
It's water.
It's water.
Cut to an interview with Sarah McLachlan where she is ripping a label off a water bottle because they did not sponsor their tour. Fucking get it, Sarah McLachlan.
That. Brandi Carlile is here.
Okay, can I talk about this for 5 seconds?
Yeah.
The first show is at the Gorge. I've never heard of this place, but apparently it's like one of those like super iconic venues outside. Now, this was another one of those behind-the-scenes moments that had me, like, in tears. Because Brandi Carlile is one of the biggest names in music today. She's huge. She's a super-out lesbian. She's also totally groundbreaking. She's a bridge gapper. People love her in all, you know, in all aspects of society. We are at the very first ever performance of Lilith Fair. And Brandi Carlile is there as like a 15-year-old. I'm going to sob. There is a video of Brandi Carlile at the very first Lilith Fair show, way in the back, like the seats that I was in, like on the lawn.
Yeah, the lawn.
And she's just there as a attendee. And she is talking about like being like the only out gay kid in her high school. And she never felt safe. We get so much of that. No one ever felt safe until they went to Lilith Fair. And
so much.
She just can't believe it. And like, she's watching these women rockers on stage, and she's like, I want to do that.
Yeah.
And then she becomes Brandi Carlile.
Like, this is why things like this are important, everybody.
Yeah, and this is why documentaries like this are important, because seeing her home video footage of being at the first Lilith Fair, and the moment in the end, I'm going to lose my mind. There's a moment in the end where it comes full circle for her, and I'm going to like lose my mind when we get there.
But everyone is like, Paul Nicole today is like, oh, it was magical. Jules says there's unabashed sincerity from the audience. Like, everyone is Tracy Chapman, not a single person missed her set. It was huge that she was there.
Get this bill for the first go of shows.
A Lilith Fair bill is incredible.
Joining McLachlan on the bill will be Jewel, Paula Cole, Tracy Chapman, Suzanne Vega, jazz singer Cassandra Wilson, and Fiona Apple, Joan Osborne, and the Cardigans.
Maybe the better question is, who isn't?
I remember seeing that lineup and like couldn't buy tickets fast enough.
What's interesting to me is, you know how I feel about Fiona Apple. I love Fiona Apple so much that people asked me if I named my dog after her. I did not.
We named our cat after her.
Fiona's name was Fiona.
Oh, she came named.
She came
named. Like my daughter. Yeah.
So I was like, oh, this is great. But I love that name. But I love Fiona Apple so much from the beginning.
Yeah.
When her first album came out, she was 18 years old. Tidal. If you don't know, T-I-D-A-L. If you don't know it, listen to it. She wrote that when she was 16 and 17 years old.
Yeah.
It is a groundbreaking, unbelievable, unprecedented solo debut record. My watch is literally like your heart is racing.
Listen, I know. Shadowbox her, by the way.
There's not enough footage of her. I don't know why. Maybe they couldn't get the rights. I know Fiona Apple is like notoriously, this is not her thing to
sit for a
documentary. She doesn't like to do that. She's a court reporter now. She's so fucking awesome. I could talk about her for hours.
Wait, what?
She's a court reporter now.
Fiona Apple?
Yes.
What?
She's like getting justice for women of color. She is fucking awesome.
Oh my God.
I know.
I have no idea.
She's the absolute coolest. But there's no footage of her. I'm not surprised that she's not in it.
Yeah.
But like, there's no footage of her playing. And my heart broke that we didn't see any of it.
Yeah.
Because she was to be so young and so vulnerable and such a genius.
Yeah.
Like the depth of her lyrics for a 17-year-old person is unbelievable. And I just wanted to see her at the piano. And we don't see a single bit of footage from Lilith Fair.
Oh, that's so...
And I just want to know why.
Yeah.
I
bet we can find out.
You know?
Yeah.
I tried today and I couldn't find anything. The only thing that I could find was like rights, maybe.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I know she's very particular about her rights, but anyway.
On the opposite end of that, so we see at this very first show, we see Paula Cole playing at the piano. She's singing I Don't Want to Wait. Now, I know for most of you, that's the only song you know by Paula Cole.
Yeah.
I will not be insufferable. Every song that she has written and performed is incredible. Get the This Fire album. She was the very first woman ever nominated for Best Producer of the Year for the Grammy without a male counterpart. Like, that album is fucking incredible. But she's sitting at the piano and she's playing I Don't Want to Wait. Now, if you go back and watch this moment, having seen her live a million times, when she is sitting at the piano, she is constant. She cannot, she just has music running through her body and she cannot sit still.
Yeah.
And it is the most amazing because she's like, she just looks incredible. You can tell she wants to be standing and singing, but she's got to play the fucking piano.
And also, this was before Dawson's Creek.
Yes.
Dawson's Creek didn't make it a hit.
No.
It was a hit.
Yeah, it was a hit. And
yeah.
On that album, there's like 8 other huge hits on that album.
Yeah. So Lollapalooza, the boys' show.
By comparison, something like a Lollapalooza, they were doing 15 or 18 shows. We did 40. So that's 4 or 5 festival shows in a week. It was absolutely bonkers.
That's 4 to 5 festival shows per week, which is just definitively, objectively insane.
It's really amazing to meet the people behind the scenes. Many of them, most of them women.
Like the crew.
Yes.
The crew was women.
Oh my God. The Indigo Girls that used to tour with their roadie, her name was Sully. And she became so well known among the Indigo Girls fans because like she would come, Sully, Sully,
yeah.
Sully.
Like
people loved, like these women roadies are so fucking badass.
The crew, tech, sound engineers, like so many of them are women. It was also the first tour to bring in extended healthcare. It's unreal they were able to do that.
And they talk about how like these quote grown men were now crying because they could take their kids to the dentist.
Yeah.
Like let women do shit.
Pretty
you
amazing
know?
For a show that like people quote in power, like no one believed in.
Yes.
Weird. Now there's extended healthcare.
Exactly.
How interesting.
I mean, also like founded by a Canadian. So that's part of it.
Well,
you know what I mean?
That too.
Yeah. So
we just wanted water, you guys.
Yeah, exactly. Please. Can I get a drum roll? The Indigo Girls are here!
Amy and Emily have arrived.
Okay, but this is a really big deal. The Indigo Girls are here, and what everybody is saying, like Suzanne Vega, and I like love her because I love people like this. Suzanne Vega is saying, like, I'm kind of weird. Like,
yeah.
I kind of like to say to myself,
complimentary.
Exactly.
That's a compliment.
I married a person like this. All of my friends are like this. Like, I love the kind of weird, quiet, like stay in the background people. Suzanne Vega's like, I'm like that. That's kind of like what the vibe kind of was. We kind of didn't necessarily know how to interact with each other. We've been pitted against each other for decades and decades.
Especially in the beginning, there was this kind of self-consciousness and there was a kind of stiffness to some of us backstage that didn't really break until the Indigo Girls came out. And they just broke through all of that.
But then the Indigo Girls showed up and it was like, and like, I just love them so much. They are just a part of my soul. And like, the thing about the Indigo Girls is that they, not only are they so iconic, like they were the first queer band, but also like an early like female fronted band. Obviously there were people before them, but they were so iconic in the industry and paved the way for so many people. And so many of those people are now performing at Lilith Fair that like all of those artists were so excited to meet them. But But, like, vice versa, too. Like, the Indigo Girls were the welcome wagon for everybody. They were fans of everybody. And they, and I knew this legend about them from Lilith Fair, that, like, when they showed up for their first show, all of a sudden, it was camp.
Because they were like, all right, well, who's going to sing with us? And everyone was like, wait, we can do that.
Exactly.
We can, like, join each other on stage. I thought we were just like, this is Jewel Slott, this is Cheryl Crow. Like, they didn't know that they could be together, together.
And it's
and the Indigo Girls made that happen.
And Sarah McLachlan was like, I want to sing with you. I want to sing with you.
Yeah.
Like, it's the cute, and, like, seeing the shows and watching these artists perform together, and like they were saying, this was where the idea of a final song that they would all come out
this,
on
like,
stage and
big
sing.
Big last song, yeah.
And they, I mean, every show, I didn't, like, I saw the first tour, but ours was at the end of it, so by then they were already doing this. And I remember when they all came out on stage, and, you know, we see them now backstage, and one of the behind the scenes people is like, once that idea was born to do this, like, this big end group number, you would see all of these icons in the, like, imagine walking into a room and it's like the Indigo Girls and Paula Cole and Sheryl Crow and Sarah McLachlan and Fiona Apple and Julia and Jonah. They're all, like, working on a song together.
It's insane.
I can't imagine it.
And Brandi Carlile says, I want to slow down on this because she says,
the life-affirming experience of watching the Indigo Girls. They were somehow part of the glue that held all that emotionally together. For those women. And seeing those women on stage, unconcerned with whether it made them look gay or overtly feminist or angsty or angry or any of the things that the Indigo Girls were getting thrown at them.
Seeing everyone up there was life-changing for her because no one was worried about being, like, too angry or too feminist. And she says, or any of those things that the Indigo Girls were always having thrown at them. And I'm like, I want to slow down on that because people love telling a woman that she's angry, even and especially when she has every right to be.
And so, like,
I'm sure they, like, there were a couple of angry songs.
Yes.
But, like, in that moment, and we should be, we're fucking pissed.
Yeah.
But, like, in that moment, it was like, no one cared if they were angry. It was a safe place to be angry, or they could let things out, or they could be emotional. Like, that's the big insult. Oh, you're so emotional, you're so hysterical. Or you could just have fucking fun, which is also allowed.
Well, and the other thing that Brandi Carlile says in this moment, too, is that they weren't afraid of being associated with the Indigo Girls, who were so openly gay.
Right.
That you could, like, sing into a microphone with them or even sing a fucking love song with them and it didn't matter what people thought about
it. And it was also fun.
Yeah. And, but, and, like, that's the other thing that, like, is such a theme throughout the documentary is, like, they were all having fun.
It was fun.
Like, they could be together and have fun and, like, that was the point of the festival.
Right. And they were also making a ton of money.
Yes.
They made about, they say hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue, but I looked it up. They actually made $60 million over 3 years, which is, like, $16 million a year, which is crazy.
Wow. I mean, and for, like, that was, you know, 30 years ago.
It's
so whatever,
huge.
Like, that money would have been in today's
That's
dollars.
That's enormous. And then on top of that, there was charity and sponsors and, like, they only wanted to work with organizations true to the cause, obviously, right? You know, like, men who would give them water.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, but I also...
I'm still stuck on the water thing.
My whole thing, rip that label off, McLachlan.
Yeah.
Rip it off if they're not
Hell
supporting.
Yeah. But Sarah took $1 from every ticket sold and gave it to a local charity, and she did this for every venue.
Girl, Quince is back. You are looking so cute today in your Quince jeans.
Thank you so much. I wear them all the time. I'm not even kidding.
Yeah, fam, when it comes to gifting, we want to give things that people really love, like beautiful, timeless pieces they'll wear for years. You know that that's Quince. You know that we love it. You know that we wear it in all the seasons.
Yeah, so right now I'm wearing the Luna Stretch Flare jeans. They are so cute. They go with everything. You know I also love my nylon crossbody bag that I wear all the time.
Yeah, I mean, their Italian wool coats are also their standout pieces. They're beautifully tailored, soft to the touch, and crafted to last for seasons.
Yeah, I want to talk about the craftsmanship because I also have, like, loungewear. I'm telling you, I have so much Quince stuff.
Ooh.
I love it so much. But, like, the craftsmanship, you can really see it in every detail, like the stitching, the fit, the drape. Like, it's elevated, it's timeless, it's made to wear on repeat. When I tell you I'm wearing these jeans constantly, it's true. They're so comfortable.
You say it all the time. People
love
it. So, fam, find gifts so good you want to keep them with Quince.
Go to quince.com/TCO for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
Now available in Canada, too.
That's quince.com/TCO to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
Quince.com/TCO.
And they also tell you how much it would be at other places compared
to
them.
Yeah,
you really feel like you're getting a deal. Oh, I love it.
Girl, Rocket Money is back. Fam, you know this. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that helps find and cancel your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so you can grow your savings.
Yeah, here's the thing, though. Rocket Money shows all of your expenses in one place. And
yes.
It's not just your expenses. It's the subscriptions you forgot about it. And don't feel bad. We all do it. We all sign up for stuff and forget.
Yeah. And look, their dashboard lays out your entire financial picture, which I know can sound scary, but when you do it, you're going to be so happy. It shows you bill due dates, paydays in a way that's easy to digest. I'm telling you, like, if I can navigate this thing, anybody can do it.
Yeah, and if you see subscriptions that you forgot about or you no longer want, Rocket Money will help you cancel them because, you know, sometimes people make it hard to cancel. Yep. Rocket Money has your back.
Yeah, they'll even try to negotiate to lower your bills. That is, like, my favorite thing for it. The app scans your bills to find opportunities to save and then goes to work to get you better deals. Like, oh my God.
Yeah, they'll, like, alert you to stuff that you had no idea about.
Truly.
And they'll even talk to customer service so you don't have to. That is priceless.
Fam, Rocket Money has saved users over $2.5 billion, including over 880 million in canceled subscriptions alone.
Their 10 million members save up to $740 a year when they use all of the app's premium features. And I'm one of them. I gotta
totally.
Tell
you. Me too. So fam, cancel your unwanted subscriptions and reach your financial goals faster with Rocket Money.
Go to rocketmoney.com/obsessed today.
That's rocketmoney.com/obsessed.
rocketmoney.com/obsessed, which we are, by the way.
We absolutely are. Jewel says now, too, that, like, all of these women are starting to have massive hits on the charts. And so, like, Jewel says,
everybody was doing well on that lineup. We were having massive hits. I went from selling zero records in 3 years to selling a million albums every month.
1 million records a month. That's, by the way, when people ask how Jewel can, like, not work these days, that's how.
And those Intuition commercials, the Razor commercials.
No question. And she's, like, notoriously good with money, like, doesn't spend anything. I love those commercials.
Also, Sean Colvin, she talks about knowing that, like, knowing Sunny Came Home was a hit because of how the audience at Lilith Fair reacted.
Yes.
She was like, how do you know this song?
And, like, Sean Colvin was a total unknown. She came out of nowhere. And she said she would sing Sunny Came Home at the show. And, like her and her bandmates would look at each other. Like, we were singing in a coffee shop last week. And now there's 20,000 people who know all the words to my song.
So the Grammy nominations after the first year of Lilith Fair are unbelievable. Sean Colvin, Sheryl Crow, Jewel, Meredith Brooks, Sarah McLachlan, Paula Cole, 7 nominations. And she won Best New Artist that
year. Yeah, well, Paula Cole wins Best New Artist. And Sean Colvin won Record of the Year and Song of the Year. Like, that was fucking insane. And I want to say one more time, Paula Cole was nominated for Best Producer of an Album, whatever that is. Like, Best Producer of the Year, basically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She was the first woman ever to be nominated for that award, not having a male counterpart.
Yeah.
Which is, like, so groundbreaking, and nobody knows that.
It's huge. I want to talk about this medley. So all the nominees for Record of the Year got their own performance, except for the Lilith Fair tribute.
So basically the other two got their own performances.
R. Kelly, Boo, yeah. And Hanson.
Yeah. So, yay, by the way. Yeah, loving Hanson.
Right. But Sean Colvin and Sarah McLachlan and Paula Cole. So instead of each of them having their own songs at the Grammys, they do a medley.
Yeah.
And that's super fucking annoying that they sent the three women, like, oh, we'll just make it the Lilith
because
Fair tribute.
Like,
they're not their own artists.
But the big thing that happened during the, I mean, this was like so ridiculously earth-shattering when it happened. Paula Cole, during her performance.
So in my stupid fucking unmusical medley, I happened to raise my hand and I didn't shave my armpits. And, like, that became a thing.
I was so angry for Paula to be diminished like that after such a huge night. Who cares? But that's what it became about.
The thing that happened is now that's all anybody talked about because it gave the idiots everything they wanted. All
yeah.
The idiots being like, oh, they're just like angry, unshaven women.
Yeah.
And
right,
so this,
right.
You know
yeah,
what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh, they're fucking
yeah.
Dirty lesbian hippies
yeah,
just
totally.
Like screaming and crying. I'm like, first of all, that sounds like a blast.
Totally.
That's number one.
Yeah, yeah.
But two, like this stupid image of women in music. Like, and it they're just like, it just pisses me off that they took that and ran with it in the most negative way they possibly fucking could.
The only thing, and look, I want to not say this. There's no world in which Paula Cole did not know that was going to happen. You know what I mean?
Sure. So like, right? I mean, did she make that? Do you think she made a statement? You're saying she made a statement.
No. I just think that she like decided to like be her like true self and not shave her armpits and wear a sleeveless dress. Like it was going to be a topic of conversation. No, there's no way that like anybody was surprised by that.
Right.
You know, it was stupid. The conversation was fucking ridiculous.
Stupid.
And like, God love Paula Cole for doing something that I'm sure made so many people feel seen.
Yeah.
Like being brave, you know?
Yeah. Oh my God.
And like, she's here now. I mean, I follow Paula Cole on all the social media. She's just like a normal lady. She lives in Gloucester, Massachusetts. Like she performs and tours all the time. She still makes albums. She's just
when was the last time you saw her?
It's been a long time.
Really?
She did a 20th anniversary tour of the This Fire album. And my friend Mike Jensen and I went and I sobbed. She did the album start to finish.
I know.
And I just love her so much. But I also just love that she's normal. She's just like a mom in Gloucester. And you know, but it's so great to see her here, like having this moment where she gets to like reflect on all of this stuff, because you know, it's easy to forget that like Lilith first started because Paula and Sarah went on tour together. Like Paula, it wasn't her idea, but she was like part of the reason it exists.
Sure.
You
and
know,
because it was successful. That was the
right
thing.
Yeah.
So 1998, year two, 18,000 miles traveled, 123 artists, 57 shows, $3.5 million donated.
As many accolades as we were getting, we were getting slammed every once in a while, being called Lily White Fair, that there wasn't enough diversity. In year one, we had an opportunity that we never seized. We need to really do outreach in terms of other artists and live in the solution, not the problem.
The criticism is super valid. There are no hip-hop artists, no R&B artists. Like, yes, Tracy Chapman is black and at the forefront, but, like, they really did lack any kind of real diversity. And also, no real hard rock acts either.
Yeah.
So this is where I want to take a little detour of, like, the people who didn't appear. I told you about Tori Amos.
Oh, yeah.
So she was asked, and it was, by all accounts, totally mutual and no hard feelings. But she was kind of like, I'm all about theater. And, like, my show's kind of, like, a whole thing.
Yeah.
And, like, she just didn't want to, like, pare down her show to be on a festival.
No, that makes
right?
total sense.
Ani DiFranco wasn't there. She declined it. She like kind of didn't believe in it. Patti Smith.
Did she say why?
She just didn't want to be like tokenized. She just didn't want to be a part of it. Like how Lisa Loeb was like, I don't know if I want to do this.
Yeah.
That's sort of the Ani DiFranco camp. Patti Smith did the first run, but she didn't do the full festival. Courtney Love wasn't there. Melissa Etheridge wasn't there.
Did she decide not to do it?
Actually, someone tweeted at her. I found this like a few years ago that was like, oh my God, here's footage of Melissa Etheridge at Lilith Fair. And she was like, I never went to a single Lilith Fair. That's from a different tour.
Huh. I mean, Melissa Etheridge was another one that was a huge fucking star by that point. So maybe she just like, who knows why? But that surprises me.
Garbage.
Uh-huh.
Alanis, even though they played a clip of Alanis, like her You Oughta Know video, but she was never on Lilith Fair.
Alanis does not surprise me at all, only because she was on tour for Jagged Little Pill for fucking
That's
ever.
True.
And she was either tired of touring or, but also like, too big. You know what
too
I mean?
Big.
Like, I think that there's a real thing to be said that like, Alanis probably had a price.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, TLC was huge. And then like 1994 is when, you know, like Kathleen Hanna and the Riot Grrrl movement, like Veruca Salt, like there, to me, there are a lot of glaring omissions here between women of color, other music that like didn't have guitars involved or had like electric guitars involved, like the Riot Grrrls, any hip hop, like that's like,
I mean,
a glaring omission.
But the best part about all of this,
I remember when some of the criticism was first coming in, she was very open-minded to accepting it, working her way through it, you know, admitting that maybe mistakes were made. I mean, it's something I've always admired about her was her public discussion of, well, let me think about that because maybe you're right or maybe there's something more that I need to think about.
Sarah was like super open to the criticism.
She's like heard.
She's like absolutely heard. Let's fucking do better. Who can we get? Who wants to do this?
So in 1998, Erykah Badu was added to the lineup as well as Desiree.
Yes.
Missy Elliott, who made her touring debut at Lilith Fair, Queen Latifah, India Ari, like fucking finally.
And can I tell you, seeing Erykah Badu at Lilith Fair, I'd never heard of her. And it was, she's what you remembered. Like, she came out, not only is she just so fucking striking, her voice is just flawless. And she has this easy charm that like in a stadium of 20,000 people and you're on the lawn like I was, you feel like she's singing to you.
Yeah.
Like there's something so, I mean, I've never really seen another artist. Like, she just has such an ease about it. It's incredible.
It's true.
The Missy Elliott stuff is amazing. Like, the Missy Elliott story is, I just love it, because Sarah McLachlan's like, she'd never toured before. We really wanted her. She was on this broke down bus that broke down on the side of the highway. It's 5 minutes to Missy. Yeah. She's not there.
God, and then, like, the coolest.
We get the story that, like,
and then we get a call. It's like, oh, hey, my bus broke down. I'm on a highway 5 miles away, but I'm going to get there. 5 minutes later, this red convertible pulls up. Some dude, she's flagged down on the highway. She comes out, she puts on her inflatable suit.
What's up, yeah?
And it happened.
She calls. She's like, I'm in a car. I had some guy pick me up on the highway. She got to the stadium 5 minutes before it was her debut at Lilith Fair. She goes out on stage and just fucking brings the house down.
Like,
and we see her, like, right after her first performance. She's like, that was so fun.
Yeah.
You know?
I'll get off my soapbox in a minute. But her whole debut, like, that music video, that song, like, she was just, like, everyone was like, like, wearing that outfit. Everyone was like,
yeah,
who is this amazing? Like, what am I watching? I want more of it. She's just so cool.
Well, and, like, there's we see a clip of the Indigo Girls jamming with Missy Elliott. Like, in what other venue, in what other environment would they be together on the same bill?
Yeah.
And to see, like, these old lesbians and this young hip-hop artist, like, it's so fucking cool.
And then you have, like, the Sandra Bernhardts of the world who were talking shit because they were actually, like, they wanted to be invited and they were just working out their jealousy.
Can I tell you, I had no idea. I have et tu, Sandra. I had no idea Sandra Bernhardt was at Lilith Fair.
But she's here to take it all back. She's like here
100%.
To sit down for the documentary. She was like, I was hanging out with Madonna.
Totally.
But she basically says, like, she didn't give it a chance. She was just talking shit because, like, that's what people were doing.
We see her at one of the concerts being like, they called me and said, Sandra, we need you. We need your energy.
Sandra,
I'm like,
please.
I don't think that's how that call went, Sandra. I really don't think that's how that went.
But, like, Chrissy Hynde from The Pretenders also, a legend, and they, like, were there to, quote, stir shit up.
Yeah.
But all these women, like, there were women, like, music critics who were shitting all over Lilith Fair.
Yeah.
And, like, they were all of them were asked very stupid questions, like, all the time.
Well, because they would do these daily press conferences.
So,
like,
stupid.
What a fucking nightmare.
And Sinead O'Connor's here.
Oh, my God.
Sinead was treated horribly by the press and wider culture for speaking out and being her authentic self. Unapologetic. We were all so inspired by her honesty. Sinead was really important for me to have on because I was so in awe of her and her immense power.
It cannot be understated if you don't know how Sinead O'Connor was treated after her SNL appearance.
Yeah.
How horribly she was treated by the press and the public. But she was invited to
Lilith Fair. She went into hiding.
But she was invited to Lilith Fair and she thrived. And it was a major, it was like, it helped her a lot in that moment, we're told.
Well, and also, like, there was something about how badly she was treated that kind of made her an icon.
Like, can you imagine how lonely she must have felt?
No, I absolutely cannot. Like, and
it's terrifying.
I was a big Sinead O'Connor fan. Like, I had her albums. I would, like, her voice, there's nothing like it. And to see the reverie with which Sarah McLachlan talks about, like, getting to sing with her and getting to know her a little bit. And to see Sinead O'Connor in archival interviews talking about what it meant to her to be included.
And, like, when she was totally fucking attacked and destroyed and all you heard about her was something negative.
Yeah.
To go on a tour like this and to be embraced not just by the other artists, but by the public.
Yes.
I'm sure she thought that would never happen. I'm sure she was terrified to go out there for the first time. Like, what is going to happen to me?
Yeah.
People wanted her dead. I mean, it was horrifying.
It was really bad.
And ridiculous.
Yeah. Girl, Home Chef is back. We are obsessed. Home Chef fam, if you don't know, is rated number one by users of other meal kits for quality, convenience, value, taste, and recipe ease. Like, even I can cook this stuff.
Home Chef makes everything so easy. So
I know.
Fresh food is delivered. There are easy recipes to follow. Meals that actually taste great. Gordon Ramsay is involved.
I know.
There are these exclusive recipes on the Home Chef menu. 5-star meals without all the stress.
Those 30-minute meals, I made shrimp quesadillas the other night. I was like amazed by my ability to do it and how delicious they were.
So that's the thing. If you actually want to cook, like, sometimes it can be very meditative. If you want to do the 30-minute meals, great. But they also have oven-ready trays. They have quick microwave options. Like, anything you need to make your life easier and, like, find your joy in food and having your meals ready, Home Chef is for you.
Let me tell you, they've got that dedicated family menu, which, like, we live and die by.
Yeah.
Like, the three of us will sit down and, like, go through it and pick stuff together. It's like finding food that she'll actually eat that is, like, good for everyone.
And what's great great is that Home Chef has over 30 meal options per week.
Yeah.
So whatever your diet is, whatever your tastes are, whatever your allergies are, like you can find it in the 30 options per week.
And it's affordable. Fam, Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month over groceries. Like that is a real savings.
Absolutely. And also your peace of mind, just like knowing that it's handled, yeah, also invaluable.
So fam, for a limited time, Home Chef is offering our listeners 50% off and free shipping for your first box, plus free dessert for life. Go to homechef.com/TCO.
That's homechef.com/TCO for 50% off your first box and free dessert for life.
Homechef.com/TCO.
Must be an active subscriber to receive free dessert.
So for year two, their co-headliner, they made one call and one call only, and they called Natalie Merchant.
Oh my God.
Now, I know, children, many of you have never heard of her. Like,
that's so crazy.
It is. It cannot be overstated how famous Natalie Merchant was in like 1997, 1998.
10,000 Maniacs.
Yeah. I mean, she came from the 10,000 Maniacs. I know that was like a difficult time for her because she felt shouted down by the men. She really had, like, she left. It was bad. It was really hard for her. But then she came out on her own and she did that album Tiger Lily, which she followed up with that album Ophelia. And Natalie Merchant was so, so, so fucking famous. And Sarah McLachlan is just saying
Natalie really embodied free spirit. She had a freaking swing.
And she talks about the swing. I will never forget Natalie Merchant year two at Lilith Fair. She was second to last, and then Sarah McLachlan was always last. I'm going to not to cry when I tell this story. But the artist that was coming out next would always come out and do the last song with the artist that they were replacing. So I want to say she was doing that na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na, that song. And she's on her swing, and Sarah McLachlan walked out and started pushing her on the swing. And the audience, because you're just waiting for Sarah McLachlan all night. Like, you love everybody. You're so happy to see everybody. But, like, Sarah McLachlan is the main event. And Sarah McLachlan came out and pushed Natalie Merchant on the swing, and they're singing that song together. And then she sat on the swing with her. I can't believe I survived that moment. I cannot believe I didn't spontaneously combust.
Right.
Little gay me just, I mean, screaming my head. Like, I can't, like, it was transformative, that moment for me.
Yeah, yeah. That's a beautiful moment.
That's my swing memory.
Yeah. So by 1999, year three.
Yes.
Again, tens of thousands of miles traveled, like 12,000 miles, 110 artists, 40 shows, $2.8 million donated, and as many kids and babies on tour.
Oh, my God.
Lots of breastfeeding going on and people bringing their mothers to the tour. Lilith Fair was the place to perform if you were 9 months pregnant, you know. I felt like it was perfect.
Erica brought a baby to the tour.
Everyone was a mom, and everyone is bringing their kids, and all these babies are at the festival.
I just love the idea of, like, Suzanne Vega handing off her kid to Natalie Merchant, Natalie Merchant handing her kid off to the Indigo Girls.
But also, like, babies in the audience.
Yes.
Like,
that is crazy.
Kids everywhere.
I did not see that. That would have freaked me out. Like, it's just too many people.
Well, a time and a place.
But, like, there's lots of breastfeeding going on backstage. That makes me so happy.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that, like, so many of these women who will talk about, like, either being on bills with other, like, male artists or being in other festivals, and how, like, there was always that sense of competition, but, like, at Lilith Fair, it was just like tits out, baby suckling.
And I know I do want to be clear. I know, like, I probably sound like an asshole, but I know that it's incredibly hard to be a mother in this society, and especially when you're, like, an artist and a mother, like, there's no room for that. So I love that everyone felt safe in that moment. I'm just saying, like, if I was going to see, like, Maya was there at 19 years old, Maya, and I'm, like, rocking out to Maya, and then there's, like, a baby there, I would be like, oof.
No, I'm with you. Like, I don't think babies are safe in a stadium of 20,000 people.
You know what
I don't like it.
Even
backstage, fine. It's okay. Yeah. Natalie Merchant's kid can come. That's fine.
But I love that they were like, wow, like, that was another level of them feeling safe, like a space that didn't exist for them.
Yes.
Like, it was okay to bring your kid.
Sean Colvin is there performing 9 months pregnant. She's like, the only place I would have felt safe to do that.
Amazing. Christina Aguilera, by the way, was at the, quote, village stage.
Yeah.
We had Christina on a 10 by 10 deck in the middle of the field next to the bathrooms. And suddenly this girl starts to sing and the radio's going wild and people are like, you gotta get out here and see this girl. And that happened all the time.
the small third stage, the 10 by 10 deck next to the bathrooms.
I'm obsessed.
Christina Aguilera.
Oh, my God.
Now they go, there's a, because they're trying to, like, you know, get these charities and organizations that are true to the cause that they believed in. And so they're trying to amplify not just these artists, but also organizations that people might not know or, like, they just want to have money. So Planned Parenthood is one of them.
I mean, the thing about Planned Parenthood is that Planned Parenthood should not be controversial.
It is healthcare.
It just makes me fucking crazy. Healthcare. And so, and obviously the festival is unabashedly pro-choice, like, obviously. And so they get to this venue.
It's just pro-women.
Right.
It's just like, it's just, you, there's so much, like, what happened?
Pro-choice doesn't mean that we should be forcing women to have abortions. It just means that people get to decide what they want to do.
Right. It doesn't mean,
It's you know what I mean?
That's what I was just going to ask. Like, when did Planned Parenthood become this evil abortion factory?
Right.
And not just like a place to get medicine when you need it or healthcare or get an exam or get, you know what I
like,
mean?
My like, sisters went to Planned Parenthood, all of, like, that's where they went to get their annual physicals.
I don't understand how you're gonna, like, fear monger, like, you need, when you hit a certain age, you need to get checked out all the time and then want to burn down the place where we go to get our shit checked.
That's the whole thing. I think, like, but I mean, my answer to that is just that, like, of course the patriarchy wants to burn down the one place it wants to take, but they're gonna make abortion the face of it, even though it's not.
So
they
stupid.
Make abortion the face of it so they can take away fucking healthcare from women. That's what they, like, it's insane.
It's insane. So we're in Texas.
With Joan Osborne. And I was like, is she not going to, if children, if you don't know who Joan Osborne was, please just go Spotify.
What if
God was one of us? She's got this amazing song about a vibrator called Right Hand Man, which is like one of my favorites. So I used to run, like, I mean, that song is so fucking good. Joan Osborne is amazing. But she was saying that one of the venues in Texas wanted to exclude Planned Parenthood from being able to be part of the event. Joan Osborne is saying,
we were in Texas and a venue decided that they wanted to exclude the local Planned Parenthood affiliate from the event. I have a long history working with Planned Parenthood and being a volunteer for them, so it just incensed me.
Joan Osborne is saying she has got a long history of being a volunteer for Planned Parenthood, which I just loved knowing that from her. And she's saying, like, there was a press conference where Joan Osborne is, like, speaking out and being like, this is fucking bullshit. Because the venue had agreed to take on Lilith Fair. And then after the contracts were signed, they were like, but you can't bring Planned Parenthood.
But so there was a compromise because Sarah McLachlan still didn't want to, like, rock the boat.
Yeah.
So, but Joan Osborne's like, I didn't make any such compromise.
Love.
Because it's like, oh, Planned Parenthood was allowed in, but no one could talk about them.
Yes.
And Joan Osborne is like, watch me.
Fuck that.
So she and her band wore shirts supporting them.
Can I tell you a quick side story?
Yeah.
A million years ago, I got to interview Linda Perry.
Oh,
she's
my God.
She's like the lead singer of the Four Animals. She came into a bar
she's
that I was
She's an incredible songwriter. She worked with Pink.
She produced Pink's album.
Christina Aguilera.
The beautiful album, the whole thing. But she became famous for that. And I wake in the morning.
What's up?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so she came into a bar that I was working at once. We, like, hit it off. And then the next morning, she let me interview her. And you can find the article. It's out there in Girlfriends magazine. But she was telling me the story about when the Four Non-Blondes were invited to play on Letterman. And she had her guitar, and on the guitar was the word dyke, written in, like, in tape.
That was a fake gasp, everybody.
Yeah, and after they did the dress rehearsal, they told her to take it off. And she refused. And she said, if you try to make me take that off, I won't go on. And so instead, they, oh, and you can YouTube this, they instead open with a tight shot of the word dyke. Like, because she stood up to them, they're like, you know what? Fuck that. We're fucking wrong. Yeah. We're gonna celebrate this moment.
You know, David Letterman has sexually assaulted, like, 3 A-listers this week.
I mean, un-fucking-believable.
Close up on the, yeah, like, give me a break.
Ugh.
So they're like, now because they're women using their voices, shocking.
Dealing with protesters was a daily occurrence. We would get folks that would try to block the audience entrance at the parking lots. They would try to bullhorn and shout people out at the ticketed entry.
In Atlanta, we had a bomb threat. People want to blow us up because we're pro-choice.
There are these, like, daily protests and death threats and bomb threats, and now security is a major issue.
Jerry Falwell is going after them.
We can't have nice things fucking ever.
It's just like, of course this is, like, women celebrating women and this, like, festival being a fucking financial juggernaut.
Yeah.
Like, of course we're not gonna, like, just let that stand.
God, no.
You know?
Well, speaking of, Woodstock 99 happens.
Okay, so in the middle of year 3, We're right back to train wreck Woodstock 99.
Yes, because Sheryl Crow leaves Lilith to do Woodstock.
And so does Jewel.
And so we cover all the rapes, the assaults, the violence, the destruction. What's that? The name of that study? It's very famous, but it's like there were two houses and it was like the boys' house and the girls' house and they're all like 11 or 12 years old. And the boys' house was fucking destruction in an hour. And the girls was like nice and organized and were kind to each other.
Yeah.
It was that only there's Lilifair and Woodstock 99.
It's such an amazing juxtaposition. Like, I can't believe it didn't come up during the Woodstock documentary that Lilifair was happening at the same time. And Sheryl Crow and Jewel performed at both of them.
Yeah.
And like, Sheryl Crow and Jewel are both here to say, like, how awful it was. Like, you go there and all the, like, after coming off 2 years of like women and women loving women. And by the way, a bunch of fucking men who all like straight men who would go to Lilifair because they loved
and they're like, Jewel,
the music.
I love your work. Seriously.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But they go to Woodstock 99 and both of them are here to just say, like,
it was premeditated, it was self-aware in really negative ways, and it was just gasoline on the worst of the 90s male culture.
It was terrifying.
I just want to say something too, just to go back to that, because we skipped this. It's not just gay men or queer men.
Yes.
Jewel tells a story of like, there are a lot of metalheads who like my music, and I want to say, you would be surprised. Like, I think there, I know a lot of men who maybe look a certain way, but really they're rocking out too.
Oh, sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think when given the space, I'm not going to like give men too much credit here, but I think when given the space, people who fucking love music, they just like good shit.
Yes.
No matter what it is. I don't care how many fucking tattoos you have. You know
but
what I mean?
Yeah. And it's also like when we cut to the images of Woodstock 99, it's fucking Kid Rock, like talking shit about Monica
fucking
Lewinsky.
Limp Bizkit.
And like Limp Bizkit, like literally making fun of Lilith Fair on set. It's so, it like the vibe was just awful. And Sheryl Crow is here to say like it was full of like angry, white, young men.
What do you say? You have everything. What are you so mad about? We asked this when we covered it. What are you so angry about?
Truly. And it's so, it's just, it was such a beautifully, in this documentary, it was such a beautifully done juxtaposition of like this, like peace, love and getting along to this. And like, we cut back to Sheryl Crow the next day back at Lilith Fair doing a press conference. And somebody asks her like, what was the difference? And she says, and this was so beautiful. It was meant to be funny. And it was. She goes, the day I got back, I ran into Sarah's arms and sobbed into the bosom of the founder of Lilith Fair.
I mean, but actually, though. Yeah. Wouldn't you go running away screaming?
Yes.
Especially when you were like, oh, here's this beautiful utopia, and now I've just got dragged to fucking hell. Like, you're going to run back. You're
like,
going to run
Jewel
out of there.
Jewel left on her, but she couldn't get out of there fast. She was terrified. Go back and, like, listen to this episode, and then go listen to our episode on Woodstock 99, and, like, I mean, compare.
It's disgusting.
It's insane.
But the point is, like, Lilith Fair proved
the impact was widespread. There's some fundamental changes in the way women see the idea of possibility that was born at the Lilith Fair.
These women can sell fucking tickets. And we proved that.
They can sell tickets.
Yes.
Like, all of that other stuff is beautiful. And of course, like, I'm so glad the world knows that. But like, when at the dollars and cents point, like, women can sell tickets.
And also, it inspired a lot of people and a lot of things. Like, Erykah Badu talks about Sugar Water.
Yes.
And Sugar Water is a festival that was created by Erykah Badu and Queen Latifah and Jill Scott being like, oh, we're doing this.
Yes.
Like, this is something that's super needed in their community. And they did it.
Yeah.
So August 31st, 1999.
No.
The last
No.
I know.
No.
And Sarah's just like, go forth. And do it.
I mean, they're they're in Edmonton, Alberta for the last show. They went back to like Sarah's hometown or home country. I don't know exactly where she's from in Canada, but she wanted to do the last show in Canada. And it's pouring rain and it's fucking freezing. And like, the thing that like always gets me about these things, no one is sad. Like, Sarah's not sad that it's over. She says, it's been three all-encompassing years. This has been my life. I did this thing. Like, she says,
well,
like,
change now.
Yes. And she says, like, straight up, I was ready to get off the road. She wanted to start a family. And so, like, on the last day, even as we see her, we get not enough footage of the last concert. Cause, like, we only get this for like a minute. But, like, we see her going on stage and she's not really that sad. And then we see the final song
she's
and everyone
ready.
Is singing. I am sobbing.
Yeah.
It was 5:30 in the morning as I was taking notes on this morning. I'm in my office just I'm weeping.
Yeah. She's like, okay, I did it. Now go do your thing.
Yes.
Whether that's Sugar Water or whatever, or an album, or write a song, or I don't know, just be a decent person tomorrow.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
That was the whole goal.
And like, the thing is, and I'm glad that they talked about this, because Sarah says,
I get asked at almost every single interview, are you going to bring Lilith back? We need Lilith. And I'm like, yeah, we do, or we need something like it, but it would have to look really different, because we did revisit Lilith in 2010, and we didn't succeed. A real cultural shift had happened.
And she says, in 2010, they brought back Lilith Fair, and it did not work. And I remember when they brought it back. I didn't go. I looked at the lineup today. I wasn't super impressed by it.
Like, who was there?
I can't even remember now. Like, wow. Like, the Indigo Girls were there. Liz Phair was there. I think Sheryl Crow was there. But, like, it wasn't a super, I don't know. It didn't feel like it encapsulated, like, the music of the moment. And so, I don't know. I mean, I hate knowing that we will probably never have Lilith Fair again.
Yeah, I agree. It was a moment. But, like, I think this is ending by saying, like, but in a way it changed everything, because now, like, women,
yes,
are at the center of culture, you know, Clips,
yes,
of the Eras Tour,
oh,
and like Sheryl Crow,
yeah,
performing with Olivia Rodrigo.
Yeah.
And like Sarah McLachlan and Brandi Carlile.
Okay, wait. We have to talk about this, because, oh God. Okay. We're with Brandi Carlile. We're back at the Gorge. Now, if you remember, the very, very, very first performance of Lilith Fair, Brandi Carlile was there as a kid up in the bleachers. Like, we see like home video footage of her. Brandi Carlile is now a fucking headliner, and she's headlining the Gorge. It's in Washington State. Oh God, I'm going to sob. And she's standing there and she says,
I first came here when I was 10 years old, when I was sitting way out there at the crest of that hill. And I witnessed for the first time Lilith Fair. This is the Gorge. This is Sarah McLachlan's house. Please welcome Sarah McLachlan.
And then she brings Sarah McLachlan out, and Sarah McLachlan sings Building a Mystery, and I am losing my mind, because to me, there's nothing more, like, Sarah McLachlan creating Lilith Fair inspired hundreds of thousands of people.
Of course.
But one of them was Brandi Carlile,
yeah,
who was like, I want to do that. And then,
yeah,
she went and did it.
She did
and
it.
Not only did she do it, she brought back the person who made her want to do it,
yeah,
you know?
Of course.
And, like, all throughout this thing, like, we see Bonnie Raitt was here, and, like, Sheryl Crow, who was so established, but now she's getting to perform with Bonnie Raitt, who,
yeah,
inspired her. And Sheryl Crow says at one point, like, we do this because we never know who we're going to inspire. And, like, you just said, now we've got Olivia Rodrigo and Sheryl Crow singing together,
yeah,
and Olivia Rodrigo's the big star, paying it back to Sheryl Crow, and,
yeah,
just that moment where she brought it, this is Sarah McLachlan's house, I,
yeah,
was sobbing,
because Sheryl Crow says they defied the odds every single night.
Yes.
And then it ends with this, like, amazing quote from Erykah Badu.
It was just a village of very intelligent, very powerful, very creative, very mission-oriented, very strong women on stage together, putting a period at the end of a sentence.
We put a period at the end of that sentence. But it's like, and it's, she's 100% right, but it's also like in my, like, emo state, it's like, or is it an ellipsis? Like, I know it's,
yeah,
like a period in that sentence, but then based on all of these people sort of like, no, that's possible.
Yeah.
And now we can do it this way today.
Yeah. Oh my God.
We did it, everybody.
We did the Lilith Fair documentary. Oh, I don't think I've ever once introduced an episode before today in 9 years.
Are you okay? Do you feel good about it?
I do feel good. It's like, it's what people always ask me about, how, like, we're able to go on after a day of, like, after talking about these documentaries. And I always say, I spend the day in my head about it, and then I get to, like, talk it through with one of my favorite people. And I got to do that today with this. And, like, I am changed for good.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It's true.
Like, I was putting off watching this because I didn't feel like I had the time for the emotional reaction I was going to have,
wow,
to it. But I let myself, I made the time, I watched it 3 times. Oh my God, I just love it. I just love it so much. So thank you for putting it on the calendar.
God, of course. And look, it wasn't just a gift to you. A lot of people wanted us to do it. So yeah. This is like, you know, it's our last bonus episode.
Yeah. Fam, so. I'm going to say it. If you've never been to the YouTube, go and watch this one on the YouTube. Yeah. Because you're going to feel like it was in fast forward because we were screaming. I was jumping up and down a lot.
And I hope you got some new music out of it.
Oh, go get this fire. I'm not mad if you don't know it. I'm not mad if you don't know it. But go get this fire on Spotify, wherever you get your music.
And Fiona Apple's entire discography.
I mean, and that too. Like, just please go know Paula Cole. That's all I ask.
My ultimate favorite.
It's my birthday. No, it's not.
But it might be.
But it might be.
You never know when someone's listening to this.
Oh, my God.
But everyone, we love you so much. Thanks for hanging out for our bonus episodes. We will see you back next year. April 2026 is when we're going to start. We're doing 22 more next year.
No, our regular Tuesday episodes aren't going anywhere.
Oh, right.
We'll see you on Tuesday.
Like, no, right. Sorry. I meant like, you know, our little Thursday extras.
Yeah.
But we're going to be recording them starting in December
I know.
Of 2025.
Well, because we did a lot of recordings in the last couple of months. So let's not do that next year.
Yeah. So we're starting our bonus episodes recording in December, but we will see you on Thursdays,
which is going to be wild because it's going to be an episode we record in December that you're going to hear in April,
and we're going to be talking about a lot of things that probably won't matter,
won't make any sense in April,
but they matter to us in the
exactly.
moment.
All right, fam, we love you.
We love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Rewards programs are a lot like pop culture. They can be hard to keep up with. But with Venmo's new rewards program, Venmo Stash, rewards are so easy because the more you do, the more you get. And you choose the bundle of brands you get cash back at. It's giving fiscal queen. It's giving star. It's giving up to 5% cash back at your favorite brands. Just pick a bundle of your go-to spots to shop with your Venmo debit card and earn cash back at them. Do more, get more with Venmo Stash. The Venmo MasterCard is issued by the Bancorp Bank N.A. Venmo Stash bundle terms and exclusions apply. Max $100 cash back per month. See terms at venmo.me/stash terms.
Are you a fraud-paying American? One in four tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity fraud. With LifeLock, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Last year, billions in refunds were stolen. Could be from your salary, overtime, or second job. Gone. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. Because this tax season, fraud-paying American is something no American should have to claim. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
When Kohler, global design leader in luxurious kitchen and bath products, asked me to be their ambassador for timeless, elegant, durable cast iron, I said, I'm in. Soon after, I was in their Kohler, Wisconsin foundry, watching molten iron poured, enamel applied by hand, and the beautiful finished pieces ready to ship. Since 1883, Kohler cast iron has been crafted by incredible artisans, and seeing it firsthand gave me a whole new appreciation for their craftsmanship. Now, I'm proud to lend my stamp of approval to my favorite Kohler cast iron products for their durability, beauty, and enduring style. Shop my curated picks at Kohler.com. As the Kohler cast iron ambassador, I say, long live cast iron.